Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with the zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you wish to watch us on live stream, you can. Just search for ESPN 975 live video stream, and it'll be the first thing that pops up. For some reason, it's not on the website right now, so I'm not, you know. And it says we're off air. So, never mind that.
The Russians got us again?
I don't know. I can see us there. But apparently it doesn't work on there. So never mind.
You going to watch the World Series tonight?
No.
I don't think I am.
I have zero interest in the World Series. There's some hockey on tonight that I can watch. I'm thinking about catching up on some, maybe finding a new show or something.
I started season two of Making a Murderer.
Yeah?
It's pretty good so far. It's mostly about... Did you watch the first season?
Yeah.
Did you watch first season, John?
I watched part of it. I didn't finish it.
You didn't get into it?
It was okay.
Man, I love it.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed enough to watch more of it. Okay. I thought it was okay. I'm kind of like John.
This is all about their post-conviction attorneys who, by the way, man, these post... And granted, now that his case is famous... There's really good lawyers willing to pick up his case.
Right, because he gets all kinds of
attention. This post-conviction lawyer that took up his case is like, she's a genius. I mean, that's if I ever kill someone, that's who I want to be my lawyer. Like, she's got it going on. But yeah, I find it interesting, man. I'm firmly of the belief that those guys didn't do that. So I'm only three episodes in.
Yeah.
But I did see the whole first season and three episodes of the new season. I still think not guilty. I'd let him go.
Okay.
Have you guys heard of the show The Haunting of Hill House?
Yes, that's next on my list.
I heard that's supposed really good. Really good.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too.
What's the premise there? Because I haven't heard anything about it. Just
I think it's based on an old movie. Yeah, it's a horror show. No. But yeah, I've got to watch that. Daredevil, the new season of Daredevil came out. Have you been watching that, John?
I've watched one episode.
Good or not good?
It's good. And apparently...
Did you like the first season?
The first season, second season was better.
Okay.
And I heard the third season is the best of any of the Marvel Netflix shows.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. That's what
a
lot of people
say. I like Punisher the best.
I like the Punisher the best, too.
That's my favorite. I don't like Luke Cage.
Canceled?
I don't like the, what's the girl one's name?
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I watched one of those and ejected.
I like Punisher and Daredevil. And Daredevil, mostly because Punisher was in it. That's when it was the best.
See, I have a hard time committing to comic book characters on Netflix and stuff. I love going to a movie, but I don't, yeah. I'm not into 8-10 episodes of something.
No, that's fair. I could see that.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Yeah, the last thing I watched was Jack Ryan, and I like that. I thought, yeah, but I love Tom Clancy, and
right.
I know there's a lot of formula to what he does, just like I love Stephen King, and it's the same thing. There's a lot of formula to what they do.
You going to watch that Pet Sematary?
I don't know, because that was never one of my favorite movies of his or books.
They had a preview for it last night on Halloween. It looked good.
I know there's a Stephen King thing on Netflix that I haven't watched yet. I can't remember what it was, but I might be into that. I don't know. I'm just going to find something.
Stephen King himself gave a glowing recommendation of that haunt the hill. What's it called? The haunted hill house haunt. I don't know what order they go.
House
in.
On
house on haunted hill.
House on hill. The haunting of Hill House.
The haunting of Hill House. That's right. But
if we can't say it, I don't know if I can watch it.
Well,
but
Stephen King said it was terrifying, and if he says that, then you know, that's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, apparently people are like having nightmares and stuff about that show.
I like that.
Caleb says it's really, really good. Does a great job both having the horror aspect while still having an intriguing storyline that leaves you hanging at the end of each episode. I kind of feel the same way about horror as I do comic books. I just don't know if I want to commit to multiple episodes.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I really, especially now when I get into Netflix, I want it to be something that, you know, I it's got to be a really good drama, or it's got to be, you know, I'm not even sure about sci-fi anymore, and I'm a big sci-fi guy.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Hey, John, did you get your Mega Millions tickets tonight?
Yeah, Patrick Creighton sent out he slid into my DM and asked if I wanted to pitch in $10, and I said, okay.
He didn't ask me.
Oh, that's
great. I got my own. I'm not sure.
I got my own. All I'm going to say is that there's two people here that if I win are getting $1 million.
Who are they?
Two people at the station.
Who are they?
Well, they're both
David Gow?
No, he didn't need it. Dude, he tips with me.
Todd?
No.
Juggalo Trey?
Never.
Never, huh?
Never. Am I one of them?
There's only two people I actually enjoy working with around here. You guys could probably figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I want you to say it on the air, though.
Why? Well, so it's like legal?
So it's on record, yeah.
No, if I win, you and John get $1 million each.
Okay. Same for me, John. If I win, you guys both get $1 million. John, are you in on that same deal?
Sure.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to do is...
Tyler, you get $20,000 if I win. You get...
I'll get...
Bro, what do you give? I mean, what do you got? Are you in on this thing, too?
Yeah,
you got
he
some
is.
Tickets?
Yeah, he did.
All right, you can get a meal too. But that's where I cut it off.
Yeah, same thing. If I'm not going past Tyler, as long as the agreement's the same for all
of us. Yeah, he's got to give... bring Tyler on the air because I want the same agreement on record, because I don't want him winning and then giving me the finger tomorrow. And
yeah,
you know,
because this is legal.
This is legally binding.
It is.
A verbal agreement.
It's a binding oral agreement is what we call it. Yeah,
sorry. Yes, I will... do the million switcheroo.
So you, Tyler Scott, will give Fred and Jong and I each $1 million if you win the lotto jackpot tonight.
If I get $1 million from each of you, if y'all win the
That's
jackpot.
The deal.
That's
we're
the
all
deal.
In this together.
Yeah, we're all agreeing
But the
this.
Buck stops here.
Yeah.
Done.
And now, are you in on that pool with Patrick Creighton and those guys?
Yes. Okay, I have my own ticket. I have my separate tickets, too.
Okay.
Though.
Okay. Because right. Here's the deal. Like, I don't, Jong, I don't want to hear it from you if you know, you're like, well, I didn't get a full 1.6 billy because I had to share it with everybody in the pool. I mean, you still have to give us all 1 million cool no matter what happens.
Yeah, flat. That's
yeah.
Okay. That seems fair to me.
Yes.
Hey, none of us are going to win.
But if we do.
But that seems fair. If one of us wins, then we're all pretty happy. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. Jesse's saying if I win, I'm still buying a hockey team and offering me the GM position. # Houston Flames. I still think the easiest one to get would be Arizona.
Yeah.
And that they're going to take some work.
Yeah.
If I bought the team, the first thing I would do is because Steve Yzerman just quit as GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He wants to go back to Detroit, which is what I'm sure is going to happen. But I would go pay that guy a bunch of money to run my team.
Yeah.
Did a pretty good job with the Lightning. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Bryce wants your opinion on air on Iron Fist and Luke Cage cancellations.
I don't like Iron Fist either. I don't care about those.
So do you think Disney will bring them back on their streaming service or maybe keep them as guests on Daredevil and Jessica Jones?
No to the first.
Okay.
Because Netflix gave Netflix the rights to air.
Okay.
So the rumor is that they're going to do Heroes for Hire and they're going to do a combined show. And Netflix is to a point where they're looking at their finances and saying that if you're not bringing in, it has to be one of two things. If you don't have, if it's not critically acclaimed, or if you're not bringing in new subscribers, they're going to be reevaluating the TV shows. And Iron Fist fell into a horrible season one, a better season two, and no new subscribers.
Yeah, nobody's like saying, I'm getting Netflix for Iron Fist.
Exactly. Luke Cage, on the other hand, I think a lot of people liked it, but it didn't bring in a lot of new subscribers, and I think they're trying to combine the two, consolidate and combine the two shows.
Okay. Drunk Bevo said, it shows a picture of the, he posted a picture of the division leaders through week seven. Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, New England, Minnesota, New Orleans, the Rams, and the Redskins, and said the Texans are the worst team on this table, right?
I think the Redskins are in
the Redskins are in the conversation too. The Redskins, I don't really know what they are.
Yeah,
I don't think they're great, but it's no surprise that those are the two crappiest divisions. And,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yes, the other six teams are definitely better than those two. Even Pittsburgh at 3-2-1.
Yeah, I think.
Remember, Pittsburgh's 3-2-1. They haven't had their best player on offense all year.
Yeah, I think we all just kind of assume Pittsburgh's going.
They're
going to
be all right.
Yeah, because they always are. I mean, every year they figure it out, even if they're struggling. All right. What do we have here, Joe? Oh.
Bill Advisor. Guys, if you have monthly recurring bills like cell phone, pay TV, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're paying too much. You start out with a great price, but your bill goes up. Bill Advisor is going to work directly with your providers and reduce your monthly rates. You don't have to lower your service. Just lower your bill. Week in and week out, they're winning for hundreds of our listeners. Most are saving over $800 a year. They guarantee they're going to save you at least $300. Many of our listeners have saved into the thousands. Guys, start saving right now. It's so simple, and you can save some real money. Text the word GO to 232323. Your personal Bill Advisor will get your information, and they'll get to work for you. One more time, just text GO to 232323 or go to billadvisor.com and click Start Saving.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 409 says, you guys are my favorite show. If I hit, I'll give $1 million to each of you if I could do one segment on air. Yeah, we'd do that.
That's a deal.
I'll agree to that. So, and ask any early lines. We'll talk lines at 6 o'clock. I've got a few that I'm interested in. It's one I've been looking at the hockey and I'm not, the overs are starting to come back around a little bit. The two I would take a look at if you're interested in playing: Boston, Ottawa over six, and Pittsburgh, Edmonton over six. Those are the two that I would consider tonight. I don't know if I'm actually going to play them. I'm kind of taking a little bit of a break here.
A couple people asked about the Troy and South Alabama game.
Yeah, I got no opinion on that one. Sorry.
So there's a couple things to know. Like, I would like to back Troy. The numbers say back Troy. But when you consider that, what's the number at? 12.5 now, something like that?
Yeah, I'm kind of out on double-digit road dogs on these off nights.
There's an important thing.
Road favorites, excuse me.
There's an important thing to remember is that the South Alabama OC, a couple guys on South Alabama's offensive staff used to work with the Troy head coach, Neil Brown. And typically in college football, particularly at that level, there's kind of a buddies group where, hey, if we're in control in at halftime, we're not going to try to blow the doors off of you. Nick Saban doesn't have that deal with anybody.
No,
he's trying to hurt you. But I don't know.
Well, his third string's better than your first string
right.
anyway.
In this case, I don't know if that necessarily is necessarily something that would keep me off of it completely. But I think I'm probably going to end up passing. 6 of 7, Alabama's 6-1 or South Alabama's 6-1 to the over. Troy's 5-2 to the over. But the Sun Belt games, the weekday Sun Belt games, 42-26-1 for the under since 2005, since they've been doing this thing.
Yeah, I'm just passing because I like Troy, but I'm done.
You're not in love with him.
I'm done laying 12.5 points on the road on a Tuesday night game. That's just.
I think I'm just going to watch Netflix tonight. I don't need sports tonight.
Yeah, I'm probably going to. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but it's not going to involve any sports unless it's hockey. I'm just baseball season ended with the Astros as far as I'm concerned. I don't really like either one of these teams, so I'm not interested.
All right,
John, you going to be our baseball guy?
I don't know. Not very. I might just keep track of the score.
Yeah, that's what I have my phone for.
I mean.
If it gets interesting, like it's 5-5 in the ninth and the bases are loaded, I might switch over.
And AJ put this on Twitter today, and I answered him, and I said, who am I rooting for in the series? I said, grudgingly, the Red Sox, just because I like, I think Mookie Betts is one of my favorite players to watch in baseball. And other than David Price on the Red Sox, there's nobody on that team that I dislike.
You know, I just dislike Red Sox fans.
Yeah,
they're the worst.
Yeah, and it's like the complete opposite for the Dodgers. Like almost everybody on that Dodger team, I don't like.
It's Clayton Kershaw, hard to cheer for like Yasiel Puig and Jock Peterson
and Machado. Dirty Manny Machado.
Yeah,
and
but Dodger fan is more tolerable than Red Sox fan.
Yes,
because Dodger fans like Houston fan, they don't show up unless the team's good.
Yeah, I mean it's not. Like if Red Sox fan wins this. Good Lord. Then they're talking about.
We've won 3 and the Yankees have won X in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I just don't know.
The wicked good.
Yeah.
That's, no. Yeah. You guys have won enough, Boston.
I think it's kind of like I like Tom Brady, but I don't care for the Patriots fans. I want to see the greatest quarterback in the NFL, in NFL history, continue to win championships. I kind of feel like that about Boston. Like, I don't like your fans, but Mookie Betts is like one of the best players in baseball. I want to see him win.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what, though? I for some reason, most of the Patriots fans I've met are pretty cool. They're not. I think they're a different cat than the Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox fans. Because most of the ones I've met are actually pretty cool.
Red Sox fans you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Patriots fans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're saying they're better than...
Yeah, they're the only Boston fan base that I don't hate.
Ugh, I don't care for any of them, honestly.
I'm not saying I'm in love with them or I want to marry them or have their children.
Like most Patriots fans, they never liked the Patriots when they were wearing those ugly uniforms and like the old school Patriots with the guy snapping the football on it. They didn't care about the Patriots then. They're Johnny come lately since the Patriots have had Tom Brady fans,
which is 20 years now almost.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're a Johnny come lately after 17 years at this point. That's the entire life of some people.
You kind of are if you only cheer for a team once they're good.
I think there's a certain time frame to that, and the guy's been there long enough that there's probably kids that grew up as 5-year-olds that have been this is their team their whole life.
Yeah.
So USA Today put together the most likely or teams that would be great for Patrick Peterson if they actually traded him.
Okay.
And here's who they put on their list. They have the Cleveland Browns. They say they have plenty of cap room. They aren't afraid of pulling the trade trigger. We know that. Their defense is ranked 26 against the pass. And they could surely use another corner to team with and mentor rookie Denzel Ward. Pairing that duo within Myles Garrett. Got the makings of a pretty good young defense.
Yeah.
Well, Peterson's 28, but I think I think he's got plenty of time left. How about the Denver Broncos? It says, imagine Peterson and Von Miller on the same defense.
Yeah.
But they've missed Tlaib, and you put him alongside Chris Harris. Put Bradley Roby back in the nickel. Mm-hmm. Here's a team you might be familiar with. Houston Texans. Graybeards Kareem Jackson and Jonathan Joseph are north of 30. Former first-rounder Kevin Johnson can't stay on the field, and he sucks when he does. I added that. Sharice Wright and Aaron Colvin are role players. That's true. Peterson would enjoy instant chemistry with former Cardinal Tyrann Mathieu while improving a team that only has a few years left to win a title with J.J. Watt. Now, they have cap room. Here's my question. And I've already said I'd trade a second to get Joe Staley out of San Francisco. Right. Would you give up a first for Patrick Peterson if you're the Texans?
What's his contract situation?
I think he's – I've got a double check on it. I think he's got three more years. He's 28 years old. But, I mean, for one thing, you got plenty of cap room, so I'm not too worried about whatever you're paying him. Jackson,
he's a 2021 free agent. Yeah, I'd give up a first-round pick for
him. Yeah, I would too. And here's why. Because Jackson's going to be a free agent. Maybe you bring him back. Maybe you don't. Joseph is, if you do bring him back, it's a one-year deal. If you're probably going to use a first-round pick on a corner or a tackle, right?
Right.
Well, isn't he better than any corner you're going to get in the draft? I mean, maybe one of those guys turns out, but this guy's proven. He's 28.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at 4 years of really good play.
I think you're getting him like around the time when you got Jonathan Joseph in his career.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
The next 3-4 years, he can be really useful.
And so then you can use a second-round pick to – the second round pick you have left after you trade for Joe Staley. You can use that on a young corner or a young tackle. You've upgraded significantly.
Yeah.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'm with you, I think.
I would not think twice. More likely, Kansas City Chiefs. That's a team that isn't afraid to make moves.
No. And, I mean, they're a team that feels like they've got the foundation built.
And they're really good. You add that. I mean, their defense is their one weakness. I think he makes a big impact on that defense.
Yeah. Makes up for giving away Marcus Peters for nothing.
Yeah, well, second round pick, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
They had the Saints on here, but now that they've got Eli Apple, they're out. They don't have the cap room. Cleveland, the New York Jets have more than $100 million in 2019 cap room.
If you're the Jets, are you giving up future assets for right now? I think no.
They just spent a bunch of money on Trumaine Johnson too.
Because you're the Jets have no chance of winning that division. So
yeah,
the best thing to do is you know keep hold on to your draft picks, keep working there.
Here's a good thought: the Eagles. Their secondary
could
is a
use
mess.
Them.
Yeah,
they could use them big time.
And finally, the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean that. I think what Patrick Peterson's looking for is a chance to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, teams like the Chiefs make sense.
Well, from what I'm pretty sure his agent leaked, it was something like Saints, Patriots, and one more team that was really good.
Wasn't the Chiefs?
No, I don't think it was the Chiefs.
It was the Rams?
It might have been, yeah. It's basically someplace.
He's just looking to hawk a ring at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think that there's a handful of places where he could go and he could be a useful addition. I think that the Texans, if they wanted to pursue it, I think they've got an advantage that they've got Tyrann Mathieu to kind of recruit and push for that to happen. But at the end of the day, it's about what team is going to make an offer that the Cardinals are okay with, you know? It's not like Patrick Peterson just can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, I assume it starts with a first-round pick, probably more.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'd do that deal.
If I'm the Texans, I'd throw Kevin Johnson's broken ass into the deal, too.
Yes, you can have him. Just please take him.
Just say, hey, he's got upside. So, yeah, I think it might take more than that, though, if they're really serious about trading him. Because, well, it's just like, if you don't want to trade the guy, then you better blow me away with an offer.
Right.
I think you'll all...
Well, and they've come out and said as much, we don't want to trade this guy. So, it's going to have to be something that impresses them.
Yeah. All right, well, guys.
You can probably bet on whether or not he's going to be traded,
I'm
right?
I'm sure you can, because you can bet on everything else on MyBookie, including whether or not Raheel can make more than 13.5 three-pointers. All at MyBookie. You want to get those hockey overs that I mentioned tonight? Go to MyBookie. You want to play the Tuesday night college football game? MyBookie. Thursday night Texans? Of course, it's MyBookie. Whatever you're into. Like, I like to play Wednesday nights. I'm playing Wednesday and Thursday nights. I like to play horse racing on there. Like to play CFL games. I love playing hockey on there. I've got every option I could possibly want. And the best part about MyBookie is they're safe, they're reliable, they've been in business for years. I love that when I win, I actually get paid. That's, you know, that's the best part about it. A lot of these sites, you take money out, you put money in, it's gonna, you know, it's a questionable whether you'll ever get them out. That's not the case with my bookie. You win, they pay. They've got in-game betting, so if you miss the start of the game, you're fine. I've done that a few times, and I don't use another site now. That's how much I trust them. Here's what you do. Just go to mybookie.ag or on your computer or mobile phone, Google MyBookie, and you'll get your account started. It'll be the first thing to pop up. And right now, guess what? They're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That offer's not going to last too much longer, but you get a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. That's MyBookie.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. That music means it's time for legendary Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, your Texans are 4-3 and in first place. I know you've been a big believer in Bill O'Brien all along, and I'm sure you feel justified now.
I told you guys early in the season there was no need to panic. People were making fun of me, you know. Of course, I didn't expect them to win four in a row, but they still haven't played well, which is, I think, a fairly good sign. I mean, they did play better against Jacksonville, but Jacksonville was awful. That was not an inspiring performance by them at all. But, no, they're in good shape. They really are. And I know we talked about it before the season. I think they played a lot like they're going to play during the season. And that's why I was predicting that, you know, Deshaun Watson might not have a huge year because they're going to be also conservative because the defense is going to be good and Bill O'Brien's going to nut up and, you know, and hold it back a little bit, not take too many chances. And of course, he can't do that now because his quarterback is broken.
Well, did you ride on the bus with him there?
That probably would have been terrible.
That's
I might do it on the road, but I wouldn't want to make a 12-hour ride too. And that's something that people haven't really talked about. I think that'd be a factor come Thursday night. Not only are you guys playing, you know, earlier than you normally play, and it's tough for their bodies to recover anyway. This guy's spent 24 hours on the road. When everybody else had 5 hours worth of airtime on a flight, I don't expect him to be ripping and running crazy and being anywhere near 100% on Thursday night either.
Dude, I've made that drive. It's more than 12 hours. It's like 19.
What Jacksonville you go to?
the one that's on the other side of Orlando. I used to make that drive every single year. It wasn't no damn 12 hours, I can tell you that.
When you pull it up on your map, it's in 12 hours. Buddy of mine just did it in 12 hours coming back from Jacksonville the other day. So it says 12.
A white guy or a black guy? A white guy or a black guy, Jerome?
When you spend 7 hours at the poker table in New Orleans on the way. That's not a 19-hour drive, bro. That's 12.
Hey, was your buddy that made it in 12, was he a white guy or a black guy?
That was a brother.
Damn, he's hauling ass through Alabama and Georgia or Mississippi. You better slow down.
I think I'm thinking of Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah. I made that drive to Orlando. Jacksonville, I've only flown to now that I think of it. So that's still too damn long, 12 hours in a car. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't think the guy should have played. He also shouldn't have played against Buffalo. And if you can't get on a plane to go, because medical association says it's not wise to fly. I wonder what they say. They don't have anything about, you know, getting crushed by 300-pounders as part of their things that you should do if you have a partial collapsed lung.
At this point, Bill O'Brien's seat, which was hot a few weeks ago, I think has cooled off at least enough that You'd think he'd be okay, you know, if Deshaun had to miss a game. And it's not like Deshaun's been great the last few games anyway. I mean, I feel like they could have beat Jacksonville without him. It just seems like, man, you're not playing for the long game when you're running that dude out there with whatever it is, a collapsed lung or whatever he's got going on.
Yeah, well, you know you could beat Buffalo at home without him.
Right.
My goodness. If you couldn't do that, then you don't need to have backup quarterbacks on the roster at all. And they threw... He went through 25 passes against Buffalo, through 24 against Jacksonville. That's the fewest he's thrown ever in a game. You know, granted, he's been around, you know, a year and a half worth of games, but still, that's still a low for him because they're trying to protect him and can't do as much. Now, he said he was able to do more this week than last week, but yeah, it was inexcusable to put him out there when he couldn't even protect himself against the Bills. I mean, they got away with it, but that was just dumb.
Well, granted, they almost lost to the Bills, so yeah. Maybe they did need him that
day. No, I'm saying they got away with it that he didn't get broken up even
more.
Oh, yeah. Forget the winning or the losing. I just think that's a physical risk that's unnecessary. And I know the doctors told him that it can't get worse. That's a lie.
Injuries can always get worse.
You can get worse. There are other reels that can break, too. You know what I mean? It can get worse. If you can't protect yourself, it can get worse. I mean, I didn't buy that at all, and I don't know why he and his family and everybody – well, I know why a football player buys it. That's what they do. I don't know why Bob McNair didn't step in and say, hey, hold up. This is my franchise guy.
Right.
This home game against Buffalo, we ain't selling no more tickets. It's got nothing to do with making any money. Sit him down until he's ready to go.
Let me ask you, because Lamont brought this up, and I haven't heard anybody else bring it up. If he can't fly, is he going to be able to play in Denver next week?
Well, the recommendation is not to fly for at least 2 weeks, and it's generally 2 to 3 weeks. So the 2 weeks would have been Sunday night when he got hurt against the Cowboys. So it'll be past that time, and he should be good to go, unless he's had another incident where the lung collapsed or something. But the thing is, the lung collapsed because of a puncture from the broken rib. And so that was late Sunday night against the Cowboys. And so he should theoretically be fine. I don't know if altitude affects that or whatever, but yeah, that's
well, I would think it would
be a concern. Yeah,
I would think it would because that's why you're not on an airplane, right?
I'm pretty much sure you probably wouldn't have been able to play against Denver last week, but next week we're still talking another. You know, it would be what, a full month from the injury.
Yeah,
or three, yeah. What? Well, it'll be another week and a half, so 3.5 weeks somewhere.
Almost a month. So he'd be like this. The doctors cleared him to play against Buffalo. Oh, he'll get cleared.
Yeah, they'll make sure. They got that doctor from The Simpsons. Yeah. That's what they got.
He'll be cleared to play. Whether he should be playing is a whole different discussion.
Yeah, well, and who knows what's going to be going on with Denver now that Chad Kelly's pulling a Russillo and wandering into the wrong homes.
Saying Chad Kelly's cocaine Russillo? Is that what you're saying?
Have you guys ever done that? I mean, you know.
Done cocaine and wandered into a stranger's house?
Not the cocaine part.
Oh, then no. If the cocaine part's out, then no.
The wrong apartment door. And I've done a hotel room, but come on. I mean,
yeah, everybody's done that. Yeah,
they do all look just alike. I mean, you know, that's but another person's house, that's incredible to me.
Yeah, well, that's your backup quarterback in Denver behind your beloved Case Keenum.
Hey, we were talking about this, and you having worked in Boston maybe have more insight than me, but I contend that the Red Sox are they've got the worst fan base in all, maybe all of sports, but definitely all of baseball. And even though I like this team, I'm having a hard time cheering for them because of that. Do you want to contend that the Red Sox do not have an awful fan base?
No, not at all. You're dead on. I did hear you guys talking about it. I'll put it like this, though. They were not the worst before 2004.
Yeah, because they were quiet.
They were fine. Again, in 2004, they were fine. They won, 86-year streak broken. Hey, great for you guys. Y'all are good people. Y'all are all right. I'm happy for you. And then they won it again. And then it became insufferable just like that. And it was all tied into the Patriots winning. Because, you know, the Patriots were winning and Red Sox fans were still freaking out over, well, poor us, poor us.
Right.
And then they got really full of themselves and the Yankees haven't been able to do anything. So they've lost their mind. And I agree with you. I disagree with Fred a little bit on the Patriots, but Patriots fans used to be great too. They were still good after the first three. Then came the Deflategate and the Spygate before that, and they were, instead of them just accepting and going, yeah, so what, we won, what happened? They wanted to start fighting people, and now they walk around like they're put upon and they're the little guy. Nobody likes us because we're the little guy. And it's like, you're not the little guy, you're the big dogs. And I don't like Patriots fan either.
Most of the people I met from Boston are little guys. So
yeah, and you know, Celtics fan, I don't like them. They're just racist. So it's different.
Hey,
and Bruins fan,
don't get me started on that.
They go to the meeting.
Even Canadians hate Bruin fans. I ought to tell you something. I wanted to ask you this because I don't know if you were there when O'Brien kind of went off about how hard it was to win in the NFL.
I was the one who asked him the question.
Okay, because I mean, I only read the transcript of the question, so I didn't hear it. But it didn't sound to me like you were asking him anything about winning ugly or anything like that. And yet somehow that was his response. He made it sound like you were an idiot for asking the question.
Yeah, he cut me off before I could even ask, and I was giving him one of those softball questions. I was going a long way to get to it, but I was basically just trying to say, look, when y'all were 0-3, you said it doesn't matter. We can't win all these games in a row. Can't think about trying to get back. You got to win one game at a time. It doesn't matter how you win them. But today, you finally seem to put a lot more together to win. And he cut me off before I even got there, and he's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. What are you thinking? It's the hardest thing in the world to do. No, it's not. You know, 16 teams do it every week. It ain't that hard. You know what I mean? It's not that easy. But, I mean, come on. There's a winner in almost every game. You know, there's some ties mixed in there. But people win games regularly. And as I said in the middle of that, I don't know if they put that on the transcript, I was like, he's like, well, you know, and the Jaguars are all this and all that. So, yeah, but this ain't Buffalo. At home, get out of here. You barely beat Buffalo at home. You can't go around talking about how hard it is to win an NFL game. Give me a break. And earlier, he had went on and on. He was chopping up everybody, which is ridiculous. He just won a game. But you know how we are. We're soft meat anyway. We weren't even going at him. But he was ripping people for no reason. I don't know why he was still so upset. But earlier, he went in about, you know, last year means nothing, and nothing that happened last year has anything to do with this year. But then in that answer, he's trying to tell me the Jaguars have maybe the best defense in the NFL, which is not true.
It's true last year.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, you can't have it all both ways. And Sarah Boshoff from ESPN, he had said that Deshaun Watson had sacrificed a lot to be able to play the last couple of weeks, right? And she asked a simple question, so what did he sacrifice, Coach? And, you know, that's one of those where you say, oh, man, the guy's been getting treatment 24 hours a day. He hasn't been able to get much sleep, or he can't raise his arm up because he's in pain, and, you know, and he's still fucking it up. Instead, he goes, my God, hurt, Sarah. He just yells at her for no reason. I was like, dude, you need to get a grip. You're starting to get irritating. I mean, you know, it's not.
Starting to?
You know?
He's been this way his whole time here.
And now he's winning, so he's even, I mean, he's like Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
He's got some wins under his belt now, so he's getting, his chest is getting bigger. He's going to start bullying everybody.
For a guy who's accomplished as little as he's accomplished.
What do you mean? He's a QB guru.
Back-to-back AFC South champions at 9-7. And if he gets to 9 this year, he might do it again. Who knows? But no, it's I don't usually let that stuff like that bother me, because I don't really care enough, and I've been I've dealt with much tougher coaches on media than him. I mean, I've been around Belichick for dozens and dozens of times, around Bobby Knight for dozens and dozens of times. This guy's not in their class as a coach or as a jerk to the media, so he's coming up short in all ways.
So basically, he just went off, even though you didn't ask the question about, you know, oh, you won ugly, is kind of the way he responded to it.
I was actually trying to say you won better today than the other wins you've had. So, and you proved your point. You didn't let your team panic, and Now they're playing better. Now you can get on a roll. But like I said, he cut me off before I even got there. He was like, it was like I was insulting him for them having won an ugly game the last couple of weeks before that, you know?
It's the Napoleon complex, man. That's, yeah. Oh,
well, he's not that, well, I don't know about everywhere, but he's not short.
Height-wise. Oh, from what I hear, he's really short, and that's why he's so sour.
But, that's so wrong.
I know.
But, I mean, let's face it, everyone's shorter than you.
Stormy Daniels or something?
Dude, if he's going to be a jerk to everybody, then I feel like I can make fun of him. So
yeah, he does bring it on himself. And I will give him this, though, that generally speaking, when he settles down, he's not like that. And when you talk to him straight up, he's not like that. I think this is really an indicator of the type of coach that he is during the games and why he's not necessarily a great in-game coach. He gets so keyed up and so jacked up. Because think about it. Y'all watching the game, if you were the head coach of that team, the way that game went, you knew you were in control. You would have calmed down with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, right? You're not worried about losing anymore. And he came out late. Usually it's like 10 minutes right after the buzzer goes off, when the clock goes zero and 10 minutes, he came in really late. So it was like 25 minutes before he came in, and he was still jacked up and keyed up. The guy, that's evidence of his coaching. He freaks out because he's so wired up and so keyed up. Dude, you're controlling this game. They have no chance of beating you. You're in victory formation. You should be as calm as anything by the time you get to talk to the media. After a big win, it gets you in the first place. And he came in like it was at halftime. Like we pulled him out of the middle of the contest. So.
Yeah, if you were going to be happy about a game, I think that would have been
the one.
One.
That's the only one all year that I would have walked in there with my chin up and been like, hey.
Your butt chin?
Come on, Fred. I would have been like, hey, look at us. We just had we just had our best performance of the year. Not to say that it was great, but still their best performance of the year.
Yeah. There's nothing to be upset about.
Yeah. You know, he's a salty dog.
At all. You had no turnovers. Your defense dominated. You ran the football. Hell, you scored in the red zone. I mean, what else could you have done, you know, besides run up the score? You're fighting with not against his boy necessarily, but I don't know why he was still jacked up. I don't know if he got a phone call from somebody after the game that made him mad or whatever, but if you're not going to be happy after that one, you're not going to be happy at all, and you're making yourself miserable. You can't blame the media. We didn't make it miserable.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Hey, buddy, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, fellas, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Very short break. Went a little over there, but I thought it was interesting to get his perspective on the O'Brien thing because I don't like to judge things based on when I read transcripts because you don't know the context of something. It just seemed like his answer was totally inappropriate and had nothing to do with the question. So, all right, we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And it's going to be a short segment, so I'll just tell you, go check out SportsMap, greatest sports website in the history of the known universe. And we'll do a very quick Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the gym of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Well, we have a new excuse for bad behavior.
Okay.
A passenger.
Cocaine.
Well, that's, you know. That's
Chad Kelly, right? That's his excuse?
That's his excuse. Bruce Michael Alexander was on a flight from Texas to New Mexico.
Okay.
When he, on Southwest, he reached into the seat in front of him and made sexual contact with one of the women on the plane.
He touched her boob.
He touched her boob.
Yeah. Let's say what it is.
When asked why he did it, he said the President of the United States says it's okay to grab women by their private parts.
First of all, this is why this guy's story holds no water. Did the President of the United States say you can grab a woman by her private parts, or did he say you can grab her by the...
Meow.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Right.
Well,
he also prefaced it by saying...
You have to be
when
famous.
When you're famous,
right? When you're famous,
you can do this.
So like, you
this
could
guy
do
is
it.
Not famous.
You could get away with it.
I could get away with
yeah.
it. I can do that. But this guy, I've never even heard of his name.
No, Bruce Michael Alexander.
Yeah, is that the guy that played George on Seinfeld?
That was Jason.
Oh, yeah. That was a joke. But you guys yeah. both gave me the yeah, that was Jason. Like I'm
Jason.
An idiot.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, you are an idiot.
That was
a okay.
joke. God, I hate you guys.
But apparently he touched her no less than 3 times, recounting that she saw a hand that had thick fingers, were hairy, and dirty fingernails.
Oh,
dude, if you have dirty fingernails, woman. You are not allowed to grab her by the anything.
That poor woman. Big, thick sausage fingers with mid-cuticle hair like a freaking caveman. Ugh.
And then they reseated her, and she had to move to the back of the plane so she couldn't get groped. That kind of sucks.
God.
If found guilty, he faces a maximum penalty of 2 years imprisonment and a $250,000 fine.
Every once in a while, I'll get a hair on that, like the knuckle, like right the middle knuckle of the hand, like below, not the one that your fingernail's on and not the one closest to your hand, the middle one. Every once in a while, I'll get a long hair on one of those. And man, I got to tweeze it out because I feel like if you're getting hair on those fingers, like in that part of your finger, you're like you're missing some chromosomes or something. You're like it's almost like the de-evolution of man.
It starts growing out of your ears, man. That's like the worst. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
That's like every time I go to get my hair cut, I have like one dude and one woman that cut my hair, and they all ask the same thing. You want me to cut that hair in yours? I'm like, no, I want you to leave it there so I can look like a freaking ape. Of course I want you to cut it. What the
you
hell?
You never know. Maybe you're trying to grow dreadlocks or
no,
something. You don't want to ruin your
no,
maybe
like,
you're going to French braid
it's
it.
It's like freaking Yoda with all the hair growing out of there. Oh, regardless.
Ugly you are.
All right. Let's talk about Lightstream. Guys, if you've got a balance on your credit cards and your interest rate's too high and you got good credit, why are you messing with that? Lightstream can help. They offer credit card consolidation loans from 6.4% APR with AutoPay. You can get a loan anywhere from $500,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.